Our Father, again, we want to stop and thank you for all your blessings. And thank you for your goodness. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for the sunshine. And we thank you that we have a reason to be here. We thank you that we have, that you are a real God in heaven that loves us, that cares for us. And Father, that we have a reason to serve you out of love. We pray that this morning, you would help us to be inspired to do just that. Amen. I'm going to talk this morning about things to do. Because there's lots of different things that we do. There's a lot of things that people do that they shouldn't do. There's a lot of things that people don't do that they should do. Things to do. There's so many things. Because everything you do takes time. And we've been given a certain amount of time, and we are stewards of that time. And it's important that we take this time given to us and use it wisely. So I've categorized, I like categories, and I like having points in my message, and I have put together three main categories. And I'm using for my base something that I wrote couple years back, and I think I might have read it in church after I wrote this, and so you might recognize some of these thoughts from a couple years back. But my three main categories of things to do. Number one, things that can only be done in eternity. And number two, there are things that can both be done in eternity and can also be done now. And number three, there are things that if you do not do now, you will never again have another chance in the next life. So I hope to spend most of my time on that. But things that can only be done in eternity. We know very little about this because we know very little about heaven. But we do know some things. There's a verse that gets very frequently misquoted that tells us that eye hath not seen nor ear heard. And people say, see, we know nothing about heaven. But that's not what it says. The very next verse tells us that it has been revealed to us through the Word. And I wish I could quote the whole passage, but I can't. But there's a lot that's been revealed to us about heaven in the Bible. That if you just take the Bible at face value, we can know a lot about what heaven is like. And I just stopped and I thought about this. What are some things that I will be able to do in heaven that I cannot do now? The first two things that popped into my mind, I'm going to get to see my Savior face to face. No longer as through a glass, darkly, but I'm going to get to see him face to face. And number two, as you go through life, questions come that you never really find an answer. I'm going to have all my why questions answered someday. I can ask the hardest question, and I will get the answer. But those sort of things, you know, I can look forward to them. But I don't really want to spend too much time worrying about them because it can't happen now. That's something in the future. So the things that can be done in eternity that we can't do now, things that can only be done in eternity, really all we can do is look forward to them. Now in the second category, things that can be done in this life and also in eternity, there are a couple different main types of things fit in this category. There's things like fellowship and worship that we do now, hopefully, and we will do in eternity. And these are things that we need to capitalize on, do much of. But then there's a lot of other things that fit this category that as much as possible, we need to wait till heaven. There's many hobbies, sports, things that just need to be laid aside as a man running a race. The Bible tells us to redeem the time because the days are evil. It is our responsibility to do our very best to avoid doing things that will not earn us a return, that will not return an eternal reward. Something that my dad has always said, he says, you have one short life to be a good soldier. You have all of eternity to be a fulfilled human being. You have one short life to be a good soldier and all of eternity to be a good, to be a fulfilled human being. What does James say? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. We have this short vapor. What are we going to do with it? And we can have dreams. We dream, someday I'm going to be a missionary. Someday I'm going to be a preacher. And then we think of ourselves as what we dream of being. But you need to look back on yesterday. What did you do with yesterday? That is who you are. Don't think of yourself as being a preacher because you plan to sometime. Don't think of yourself as serving God because you have these dreams of giving, supporting some missionary with your money sometime. What did you do yesterday? That is who you are. You know, some people look at this whole thing and they think, you know, I gotta get my fishing in now because I don't know if there's gonna be fishing in heaven. I gotta do this now because I'm not sure if it's gonna be in heaven. You know, and things that aren't wrong. It's not wrong to go fishing. But then you get into this big argument. Is there gonna be fishing in heaven? Is there gonna be football in heaven? Is there gonna be these things? And you know, sometime it would be fun to discuss it. But it's really irrelevant. Because one thing we know, that heaven is going to satisfy who we are. If there isn't fishing in heaven, you won't miss it. So now if we look at it in this light, why is it important now? You look at it, you may say, I gotta do this now because I might not have another chance later. When later you will look back and not care about it. Why? Either that, or it will be in heaven, and then you will look back and wish you didn't do it now because it's going to be so much better then. You just wasted your time throwing a line in the water not catching fish when you can catch a whole bunch bigger fish there. So either way, you lose. If you are looking at it as trying to do these things now. So, that's why we are told to lay it aside as a man running a race. We have so much better things to do. Which brings us precisely to the third point. Things that if we do not do now, we will never in all of eternity have another chance to do. And the first thing that I put in this category is sin. And I love this one being here. Because one of the greatest things that I look forward to in heaven is just the simple fact that there won't be any more temptation. That war is going to be over. The things that I have to fight to not do now, I wouldn't be able to if I did want to then. What a blessing that will be. And there's a whole lot of things that of themselves are neither sin nor forward the kingdom of heaven. That now is the only chance to do. Like working your job, getting married, achieving earthly goals, and many more. Even things like working your job. Needs to be your livelihood, but not your life. And even on marriage, we need to be careful. Because many of people look at it and they just pretty much decide that they're not going to be happy unless they can be married. And on that point, it becomes a snare. even though it's a good thing. But you know, there's so many people that have a goal in life. Before they die, they're going to climb some mountain. Before they die, they're going to read some set of books. Before they die, they're going to run some race, see something, own some car. How many things that people have this goal? I want to do this before I die. That means absolutely nothing. You want to climb Mount Kilimanjaro before you die? So be it. It means nothing. You want to own some nice car before you die? What are you going to do with the car? You can't take it with you. And that's, of course, why you want it now, but then once you do die, you're going to look back and say, what a fool I was to own that car. You want to run a marathon before you die? Maybe you want to run the marathon, from Athens to Marathon. So be it. It means absolutely nothing in light of eternity. Oh, that we as Christians would just give these things up and not care about them. We would realize just how worthless they are. All of this I've laid out really to come to what I really want as my point today, and I'm afraid that this is going to go much faster than I thought it would. There's things that must be done. Things like preaching the gospel, praying that the Lord of Harvest would send forth laborers into His harvest, lifting up the fallen brother. Things that if you don't do now, you will never have another chance. In all of, you can spend all of eternity and you will never have a chance to preach the gospel to a lost soul. You can spend all of eternity doing wonderful things, fellowshipping, seeing the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, in perfect harmony and fellowship, but never have a chance to lift up a fallen brother. You will never have that chance again. We must capitalize on the time we have been given now. And on this point, I find it important to talk about bondage. I just recently had a conversation with some people that really brought these things to light even more in my own mind. Many people don't like talking about the duties in the Christian life. I mean, if you just mention the word duty, they instantly get the idea that you're a legalistic person. Because somehow they have this idea of Christianity that there aren't any duties. But they're wrong. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things that were commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. We have duties as Christians. And if I ever mention something, if I were to say, I feel bad if I don't go witnessing, or I feel bad if I don't read my Bible, I feel bad if I don't study, I can see it in people's eyes. Ding dong ding, red flags are flying and they're saying, bondage, bondage, you're in bondage. I'm not in bondage if I feel bad if I don't go witnessing. Because guess what? Bondage is when you think it is your duty to do something that is not your duty. If it is your duty to go witnessing, then you would better feel bad if you don't. The only time bondage. Let me define bondage in the Christian life this way. Bondage is thinking it is your duty to do something that actuality is not your duty. Or worse, thinking it is your duty to do something that you cannot do. So if Christ has told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, I'm not in bondage for feeling responsible for doing that. You're a lukewarm Christian for not. If you have the opportunity that you're missing, I'm not saying you have to do things the way I do, but if you have an opportunity that you don't take, there ought to be some sorrow there. If you say, again, somebody says, you know, I feel bad. I was got too busy and didn't get a chance to read my Bible today. You're like, oh, well, don't go into bondage about reading your Bible. Is it not our duty to dig as for hid treasure? A small amount of feeling bad in that case is very good. Very necessary, in fact. What would you think of a mother who decided that, you know, I don't feel like making supper tonight. I'm just going to play Dutch Blitz with my friends so her kids go hungry. You look at this situation and she's neglecting a duty. So now let's take a mother who says, you know, I feel bad every time I don't make supper for my kids. You'd say, well, yeah, good for you. Why then can a Christian not feel bad every time he doesn't make supper for people that are his responsibility? If somebody has been given a responsibility in the Christian life, which to fulfill that responsibility of the people they must feed, they need to read at least 10 chapters of their Bible a day, to get fed themselves enough to feed the people who are their responsibility to feed, then that's what they must do. And it's not bondage for them to feel that necessity to do that. It's bondage then when that gets placed on somebody else. If somebody has the ability to sleep only 4 hours a night without diminishing their performance or health, then maybe you probably should. If you could spend that much more time working for God without diminishing your health or performance, that might just be your responsibility to do that. Most of you are probably familiar with the name C.T. Studd, and I've heard stories about him. I haven't read this myself. But I heard that he slept only 4 hours a night and that he would read holding a spoon, so that when he fell asleep, he would drop the spoon, it would ting on the floor and wake him back up and he'd go back to reading. People read this and they go, that man was in bondage. He might have been, but that doesn't mean that. If that's the way that his heart, out of love towards God, wanted to serve the Savior who died for him, let him do that. Don't tell him he's in bondage because he loves the Savior enough to do that. But the thing is, he did put other men in bondage, because he preached that was the responsibility of the Christian, to sleep only 4 hours a night. That's where the problem comes in. So there is some things that we have to be careful here. So I throw that in just as a little balance, to explain what bondage is. I want to put a little responsibility. I want to make you people feel a little responsible to do some things. Responsible for the way you spend every minute. But not, I don't want to put you in bondage because I don't want to hold you to a standard of somebody else. I can't hold you to the standard of C.T. Studd, so you can only sleep 4 hours a night. And I can't hold you to a standard of what I believe God has called me to do in being an evangelist. But there is a standard between you and God. What God has called you to do, you have a responsibility to do. I know it's redundant, but it is your duty to do your duty. And these are all things that if we don't do now, we will never have another chance. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We can do this now, and we must. The time is coming. When this war will be over, there will be no more harvest to work in. There will be no more harvest to pray that the Lord of harvest would send forth laborers. Work, for the night is coming when men's work is done. And of course, it all has to be out of love. It must be the love of Christ constraining us. I want to see people doing these things because they love their Lord and King, who first loved them. He gave himself for you. Our Lord and Savior left heaven. He left all the riches of heaven. He left that perfect communion between Him and the Father. And He was born into a human body. We hardly comprehend what He actually did, what He went through to make salvation possible for me and you. And now, can we not do so little as pray that He would send forth laborers into the harvest? He went through everything. He became a human being. You've all read the story of how He lived. The story of His ministry. And you've read about the Garden of Gethsemane and the anguish that He went through. You've read about the cross that He was hung on to save your soul and mine. This is what He went through to save souls. What have you gone through to save souls? This is the constraint that I want to put on you people. Not just some duty, but I want you to see the reason why you have a duty. That's what I'm trying to express. Can you not serve? Can you not live for the Christ who died for you? Christ died for you. Do you live for Him? Oh yeah, I live for Him. Wait. You understand yet? Christ actually hung on a cross and shed His lifeblood for you. Do you actually live for Him? the death that he... For many Christians, if Christ only died as literally as the Christian lives for him, Christ wouldn't have died. I said that backwards, and I don't know if you all caught it. And that's because many people, the way they live for Christ is so superficial and shallow that it means nothing. And we need to stop and think about what Christ has done for us and think about the price that he paid. And are we willing to follow his steps and live for him with the fervor in which he died for us? Preach the gospel. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel to every Christian. This is the commission that's been given to the church. It's been given to you, and it's been given to me. Well, let's stop and think. What is this gospel? Why are we going into all the world and preaching to every creature? Well, you got to read the first 15 chapters of Mark. And you read about a God who so loved this world that his only son was born into a human body. I know I'm repeating myself. You'll have to forgive me. And walked on this earth among men, healing the sick, raising the dead, preaching the gospel to the poor, and yet he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And here, he went all through all of this to save mankind. We have a message to preach. Galatians 6:2 tells us to bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Again, this is something we can only do now. We will have an eternity without burdens. Now, we'd better bear one another's burdens. We have an eternity without pain. We have an eternity without sorrow. We have an eternity without the battles that we are in now. Let us find these people whose burdens we can bear. And so, and by so doing, let us fulfill the law of Christ. We don't all have all the gifts. We don't all have all the abilities. But each of us certainly have something somewhere. You've been given gifts. You've been given abilities. Use them. To whom much is given, much shall be required. Whatever the gift is that you've been given, it's going to be required of you someday. If your calling mostly just to pray. It's going to be required of you. Did you fulfill it? If it's going to be to preach the gospel to the lost, it's going to be required of you. Did you fulfill it? Is it going to be to lift up the fallen brother? Encourage the saints. It's going to be required of you. Did you fulfill your calling? You need to work, for the night is coming when no man can work. In eternity, you will never be able to tell a lost soul about the wonderful love of God. In eternity, you will never again have a chance to counsel a brother or sister in Christ. You will never again have the chance to make yourself available to God, for God to use to save a sinner. Work, for the night is coming when men work no more. Eternity is coming where you will never. I don't know what it is. But there's things that we must do. We must do them now. Let's dismiss.